When I come to this pulpit, it's always with fear and trepidation, fearing lest you say the wrong thing, preach the wrong message, say that which might interfere in the life rather than help, and fearing most of all that you do not do what God wants you to do. And so often, one of the things that God does is during the service, maybe before, sometimes maybe several hours before, God somehow cements into your mind the realization that that's what He wants you to do. And today it was with that song. Sometimes it is the song. Sometimes it's the things that have gone on previous. But God just says, hey, you're on the right course. And that's always a blessing to my soul. You see, when you stand before others and teach or preach the Word of God, there is something that is needed, and that is authority. Now, first of all, I'm thankful today that I stand upon the authority of the Word of God. That is the underlying foundation, or maybe I could say authority. And so I do not stand here with fear that I tell you not the truth if I tell you the Word of God. And so that's a wonderful privilege. But it's also knowing that God is leading you to a specific area and specific thoughts. And I believe that'd be very important. Today, I want us to stop and consider from the book of Philippians chapter 2, the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. The humility of our Savior. And with that, I trust that we can also make application to our lives, because the main verse that I want you to look at today, verse number 5, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if humility be in the mind of Christ, then that mind needs to be in us. I want to begin reading this morning, chapter number 2. And I want to read down through verse number 16 today, the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You. We have the blessed opportunity today to hold in our hands this blessed book. We thank You for its truth. We thank You that it is authoritative, that within these pages we have that which we can rely upon, we can build our lives upon. Oh Lord God, today I pray You will speak to our hearts. I pray, oh God, today Spirit of God, move amongst us. Do that work which You can only do. If there be one in this room without the Savior, it'd be a day of salvation. Oh God, work in that heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. In the text before us today, I find that it is the desire of God that you and I have two things right. One of those, God wants us to have our beliefs right. Now, we might have some areas that we might call gray that we might disagree upon. For instance, the Bible teaches us that we are to raise up our children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and we might agree on a few things, and we might disagree on a few things on just exactly how that is done. Now, I can say with authority that God tells us that we're to use a rod, and that there are times that we are to pick up that rod and lay it upon the seat of application, which is, I believe, the behind end, and let our children know who rules. I believe there are, however, other things that we might differ on. There might be some manners at the table that you might differ from me upon. There might be some ways that you run your household that might be a little different. But you and I, basically, when it comes to the beliefs of the Bible, however, we must agree. There must be a belief that is proper. There must be some things that we believe in. One of those is that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and that He came to die for our sins. He came to die for the sins of the world. That is an absolute must that we believe in. If we believe not in the Christ who died for our sin upon the cross of Calvary, then we have not salvation. If we do not believe in Jesus Christ, we do not have a hope for eternity. We do not have heaven awaiting for us. Some might say, but preacher, I thought you got to heaven by being good. Well, my Bible says something different than that. It says not by works of righteousness. We cannot get there by our works. For I have found that our works are sinful works. I have found that that which I seek to do is not that which is pleasing to God. Matter of fact, I have found there's only one thing that will please God that you and I can have, and that is faith or belief in Him, in what He did for us. And if we are going to ever go through the gates of heaven, it is not a stop to talk to St. Peter. It's not to there to be told whether we've been naughty or nice. It is there that we enter because we have entered it here upon earth, for Jesus Christ is the door of heaven. He is the way to heaven. Is no other way than through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say you're pretty narrow. Well, my Bible says, the Lord Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father, how? But by Me. You say, well, preacher, there's other religions. This be a true statement. They are false religions. You say, how can you say that? Because Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth. He's the truth. And the truth, by the way, He says, ye shall know it. It will what? Set you free. What will it set you free of? Sin's bondage. So you and I today, we can be set free from the bondage of sin by putting our trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and my sins upon the cross of Calvary. You say, you mean you have to die for your sins? That's why people die. The wages of sin is death. You say, I thought they died because they got sick. No, you get sick and die because of sin. God created us in the beginning in perfect situation, perfect shape. We were talking a while ago about when we get to heaven. And many folks, as they get a little bit older, they put on a few extra pounds. And I said this, I said, you know, that's a wonderful thing because the Bible says the fat is the Lord's. And just think about, you know, how much you have to give to God. And so the question was asked, does that mean when we get to heaven, He's going to take it all? I think so. Because in heaven, you and I are going to be perfectly fit once again. Amen? I will have all my teeth. How many have teeth missing? Yeah. I won't need hearing aids. Amen? I won't need glasses any longer in heaven. Praise God. Amen. Somebody said, you know, in heaven, we're going to get rid of the five B's. You know, baldness and bifocals and bridges and bulges and bunions. All going to be gone. Why is that? Because of one thing. It's not by what we do, but by who we believe. Who we believe. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Worketh himself to death to be like God. It doesn't say that. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, really, you and I, we need to have our beliefs right. They must be there. And then secondly, I believe that God wants us to have right behavior. Right behavior. In the first 4 or 5 verses, we find the Lord teaching us several things about behavior. You say, you mean I have to have my beliefs right and my behavior right? By the way, you'll not get your behavior right until you get your beliefs right. My Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as we get the belief system correct, then the behavior goes with it. Do you realize this morning, when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to behave differently. Things have changed inside. Old things have passed away, the Bible said, and behold, all things have become new. You don't have to change yourself. He's going to do the changing for you, and you begin to think differently. By the way, God wants us to have a different behavior. That's why the apostles, that's why we read the epistles, that's why we look at the Word of God, and we find that so much is being said to us about our mindset. The Bible speaks of having a renewal of the mind. Now you get saved, but the mind needs to be renewed. It needs to have some things change. You need to have a change take place in your thought pattern. So there's some renewal of things. How does that take place? Through the Word of God. And as the Word of God is preached, as the Word of God is taught, as the Word of God is read, as it's studied, we begin to learn what? Different things. I've had so many old beliefs that I had to put aside as I learned from the Word of God and had my mind renewed. I find from the Word of God that the devil seeks to destroy us. And there's only one weapon the devil has that is effective against Christians. He has no other weapon that is effective against Christians. He might try some other things, but that which works is the lie. And he is going to try to tell you things that are not true. And he is going to seek, through his lies, to get wrong thinking in your mind. Now, if I asked this morning, how many of you ever had wrong thoughts in your mind? Most, if you were honest, you would have to say, yes. I have wrong thoughts go through my mind. I mean, there's times, there are folks we'd like to kill. We'd like to see them gone. I mean, I've walked out of church after preaching, gone in the lobby, and heard somebody walk into the lobby and say, I'd like to kill him. Boy, that's exciting. You know, I'm thinking to myself, what happened? They should have walked the aisle. But that's the way we are. And we have these kinds of things come into our mind. By the way, don't set there pious. You've had those thoughts. We have those things. So God is wanting to change our mindset. He's wanting us to what? Have a mind that is like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He says in verse number 5, let. It's something we have to allow. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's His admonition to us. Now I want us to stop and think about what is the mind of Christ? What is it, the mind of Christ, that He wants to be in us? And I want to look within the context this morning, because I believe there are a number of things, but I want us to look at 3 specific things this morning, 3 qualities of character in Christ that is a mindset of His that ought to be in you and in me. Now, in doing so, I want to do a contrast this morning. Now, a contrast is when you put black against white or white against black. A contrast is showing one thing on one side, one thing on the other side. And so today, I want us to go back to the Old Testament for a contrast. We're going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who was of the seed of whom? What king? David. And so as we stop and think about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was of the seed of David, all we got to do is go back a generation to the very first king, and his name was Saul. David is a type of Christ. Saul is a type of Satan. As we look here, and a type of that person who is away from God. So I want us to look here this morning, and notice with me, first of all, in verse number 3. Verse number 3, notice what he says. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. I want to stop and think about a character trait of the Lord Jesus Christ that I find absolutely wonderful. And that character trait is that my Savior has an ability to accept people as they are. To accept people as they are. He does not see himself as better. Matter of fact, he looks at them and we find, he says, let each esteem other better than themselves. Acceptance of others. A miserable culprit that will steal the joy of Christians is envy. Are you listening this morning? Rather than acceptance of people, we have an envy of people. And certainly we look back in the Old Testament and we find that King Saul was a man who had tremendous envy of David. David had taken the opportunity to go out and to kill Goliath. By the way, Saul could have. Saul could have had the same belief as David. Saul was the king of Israel. He could have taken his mighty sword. He was head and shoulders above all the rest of the people. He might not have been as big as Goliath, but with Saul and God, he could have done the same job. But he feared along the sidelines. And when David came along, David said, I will do the job. And David, with his slingshot and 5 stones, went out to meet Goliath. And as he slung those stones, the first one, it hit Goliath right between the eyes. And down he went. David ran upon him, grabbed the sword out of his sheath, lest he not be dead, and took it and cut his head off. When he came back into the city of Jerusalem, and they made their grand entry after this battle and the victory that took place, the women began to sing. And the women sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And though Saul had credit, and though he was afraid on the sidelines as well, yet because he heard that, he became very envious of David. And it absolutely destroyed Saul. But our Savior is one who envies not, but is willing to accept you and me as we are. Oh, thank God for our God who cares about us. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Notice with me verse number 4. Verse number 4. And here we get to a situation and something I believe is very lacking in the lives of God's people. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. The Lord here says, I believe basically to you and to me, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, then there must be in our hearts and our minds consideration for other people. Our Lord, in His humility, was very considerate. Our Lord is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And yet, as He came to this world, in humility, as we find, as He humbled Himself, He came with consideration. That's what your song was basically about this morning. And our God today, our Lord, as He was upon the face of this earth, cared about other individuals and how they felt about situations. There was a woman that came in. Jesus had gone to the house, I believe, of a Pharisee, and He was there having dinner, and a woman came in. She fell down at His feet and began to wipe His feet and to wash His feet with the tears from her eyes and the hair upon her head. And the man who had invited Him ridiculed her. And in a sense, he ridiculed Christ for accepting her. But our Lord, understanding this woman and thinking about from whence she came, defended her. And He said to the man of the house, "I came into your house and you didn't wash my feet. But since she's been here, she's done nothing but wash my feet." He said, "You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has." And He turned to the woman and forgave her of her sins. He had consideration. He cared about how they felt in situations and were concerned for this or for that. Do you realize that every action and every reaction we have affects other people? And oftentimes, we do not really care what others might be going through or the situation they may be in. Or we care about ourselves and we look and we think, "Why don't they ever care about me?" But do we have that kind of consideration? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He had an accepting ability. He was considerate of others. But notice something also in verse number 8. "And being found in fashion as a man, He" what? "Humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We find also that His humility is shown most vividly in His obedience to God the Father and the will of God. No matter what the personal cost might be, Jesus Christ was obedient to the Father. He followed directions. However, we look back in the Old Testament, we see a man by the name of Saul, and what do we find? That Saul did not care about David. He was not considerate. And Saul came to the spot where he no longer obeyed God. Turn back with me to 1 Samuel in chapter number 15. 1 Samuel in chapter 15. Let me note a couple of things from some Scripture here. 1 Samuel and chapter 15. We find that God had given a command to Saul. That command was to go to the Amalekites. And as he was to go to those Amalekites, God said to him that he was to utterly slay all of them. Every last one of them. We find that Saul took his armies and they went. And they slew most of them. But we find that there was a number he did not. One was the king. We find that they were to slay all the animals, and yet we find they brought back the best of the sheep. And we find that Samuel comes to Saul, and go with me to verse number 17. And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." He said, "Saul, when you were humble, when you were in place of humility, you were placed as the first king of Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? I want you to notice how God records for us the words of Samuel and is teaching us how the lack of humility, when pride comes into our lives, that we are going to be in the position whereby we disobey God. Humility will bring forth obedience. Brethren, how do we get saved? How do we get saved? The Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Your sin. The judgment that is demanded upon our sin. Why do we call upon the Lord? Because we know that He died for us upon the cross of Calvary. We know that He died in our stead. And He has told us, if we will believe that, we'll just say, Lord, I accept what You did for me. Then that counts. It's by our belief. It's not by our works. We've talked about that. But herein lies the problem. We will not obey that and call upon the Lord until we're first willing to see who we are and humble ourselves before Him. I'll pick on teenagers for a moment. Teenager, do you know why that you have arguments with your parents? It's called pride. You've come to the spot where you believe you know better than mom and dad. And so instead of humbling yourself, you take a position of pride, and what takes place? There are arguments and fightings as a result of that. It takes place in churches. It takes place in the business world. It takes place all around us because we're not willing to see who we really are and to accept that position. But if we will humble ourselves before God, that's why the Lord says we must come to Him as a little child. Because we're willing to humble ourselves. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. I've asked people, if you died today, do you know if you go to heaven? They says, well, I think so. I say, well, why do you think so? And they'll tell me, well, I do this, I do that, I do the other thing. And I press the issue a little bit, and they say, well, I believe I'm good enough. What are they saying? I don't have humility. I'm not willing to submit myself and place myself under the watch care of another. I'm going to do it myself. By the way, that's why all religions are wrong, because religion is our seeking to do something to please God that He might have to accept us. It's not what it's about. It's about realizing who we are, humbling ourselves under Him, and saying, Lord, I need You. By the way, Christian, that's where He wants us as well. The principle does not change when it comes to His leadership through life. It is humbling ourselves under His leadership. And that humility is shown by our obedience. That's why you're in the house of the Lord today. Because God has placed you in this local congregation, God has put you here, and He said to what? Not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. That's being obedient. We're following His leadership. But oftentimes, as God's people, we say, I've got a better way. And just like the sinner, the saint as well, what? Becomes disobedient because he believes he's got a better way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind did he have? What was it, the mindset of our Savior? Well, one of the things I see there is, and I find it throughout the Scriptures, he accepted people. There was not an envy about him. It was not upset at every individual because they had it better than he did. It was an accepting of individual. It was being considerate of others. Thinking about how is this going to impact them, rather than just concerned about self and then being obedient. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Father, today, work in our hearts. Oh God, there's a need today for all of us to allow the mindset of Christ to become a part of us. Lord, you have said, let it. It's not something we do, it's something we allow. As we invite you into our lives, not only for salvation, but for sanctification. Oh Lord, today I pray for each person in this room. Lord God, that you might work in their heart. No doubt in this room there's somebody who needs saved, who needs to allow the mind of Christ to come into theirs, to work these kinds of things in their lives. For their life is operated through envy, through selfishness, through disobedience, seeking to do it their way. Oh God, work in that life. And for those that are your people, I pray.